This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
Hello and welcome to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire, I go by Clizaire on the internet. And this is the podcast where I invite people on to tell me their best stories. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon, as always, by the patrons on the Storytime Superhero tier on Patreon. Please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/Clizaire. Links are down below in the description and in the show notes on the audio platforms.
It's story time.
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire. I go by Clizaire on the internet, and this is the podcast where guests tell me their best stories. And this week I have with me Stephen Barry. Hello, Stephen.
How are you getting on? Your voice went very much more professional all of a sudden there.
Don't the last 5 minutes has been,
we're having a great time. And then, hello, you're very welcome to the Clizaire podcast. I'll be bringing you through the hour of 2 a.m. with my smooth jazz voice. I'm impressed. This is why you're
like
the big YouTube star.
Introduce yourself and tell everyone where to find you on the internet.
My name is Stephen Barry, and you can find me everywhere at Stephen Sings One. It's super simple. Everything, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of crack. Although I don't use Twitter because it's full of angry people.
That's very true. But out of curiosity, why one?
I think randomly Stephen Sings was taken.
Fair enough.
So
yeah, okay.
Somewhere out there, I'm going to find that lad and I'm going to hunt him down. It's, okay, it could be a girl. But I'll find them and hunt them down. But yeah, and then once I had it on one thing, I was like, I'm stuck with that. So I suppose.
Yeah.
It's fiercely egotistical.
Yeah, well, you're the number one.
Third personing myself as well. Well, actually, I think you'll find Stephen, that's me, sings.
Yeah, so you actually have lots of stories. We were trying to figure out which ones we'd start with because you've been on reality TV, on singing shows and stuff like that. But we thought we'd start with your sort of theatre/cruise ship.
What you're saying is I'm putting out desperate cries for attention is what I'm hearing from you, Claire. We'll do anything, you know. So I did a degree in PE teaching and English, which naturally lends itself to reality TV and cruise ships and theatre. And I actually started doing musicals and stuff because a friend bullied me into it, saying, "We don't have enough lads, come on down. You know, all the girls can dance and they're all beautiful and glamorous. Come on down, you'll love it, it'll be great crack." And I said, absolutely not, no way. But she eventually bullied me into it. And so I went down and we were doing West Side Story. And I tell all the story I tell to keep the old bravado and images like, I'm just down there because I'm surrounded by women. But actually, I just loved the music and I loved the musical itself. So I said, right, when I finished my PE in English degree, I said, you know what, why don't I try give this a bit of a crack? And so I actually ended up heading over to London on scholarship. Sorry. Did you say scholarship or did I say?
Yeah, was it scholarship for what? Theatre?
scholarship. Sorry. Yeah. I actually ended up heading over to. I dropped scholarship. Heading over to an academy called Mountview, which is Musical Theatre Academy. And I ended up doing a year there, which was great, and did a master's in musical theatre. So it's a very natural progression from sports, English literature, critical response theory degree, and then master's in musical theatre. It's fairly linear. So I went over to London and did the whole chasing the dream thing. But of course, I finished the master's and owed everyone in the world money after living as a student in London for a year. So did a few years of teaching. And then once I kind of had the bank balance topped up again, I packed it all in to try and full-time become a musical theatre singer and actor and all that kind of crack. And coffee break. There's nothing in the cup. I'm just acting. There is.
So good. Yeah,
oh, God, it's so convincing. Nespresso. What else? Actually, good story. If we're talking stories, right? This is Nespresso, and it's from a very good friend who will remain nameless, but his name rhymes with Ike, and it begins with an M. And this is completely unrelated to what we're doing, but sure, it's story
time.
It's a good yarn. He was dating, he was seeing a girl, he was courting, last year, right?
Okay.
You've seen a girl. I never know where to look on Zoom, where to look at you or look at the camera. But anyway, you've seen a girl last year. It's courting and they've been going out for a while. So Christmas 2020, he bought her a very fancy Nespresso machine.
I think I see where this is going.
Oh, you can see where this is kind of ending up. He bought her a very fancy Nespresso machine, very expensive, and like a year's supply of coffee. And then he dumped her on Christmas Eve.
Well, that makes no sense. I thought you were going to say he got broken up with, but that makes no sense.
No, he dumped her and she sent back the coffee machine.
Well, that is actually very nice of her, frankly.
It's ludicrous of her, but it's very nice of her.
I would not have given.
And he already has a fancy coffee machine. So he said, here, out of the wreckage and ruins of my relationship, do you want to benefit with a Nespresso coffee machine and a year's supply?
Why do you end break up with people on
Nespresso?
on days that are important? Christmas Eve, what a bastard.
It's a rough day, really.
He's gonna be mad at you now for absolutely going.
Happy Christmas. By the way, just while we're in the Christmas spirit, while you've got Michael Bublé playing in the background, if you could just actually skip to some of the sad songs because we're done. Have yourself.
Maybe Adele.
Yeah. Would you not put on Adele there? Never mind. I'll find. Sorry, did I say a professionally trained singer?
I had a boyfriend once that told me after we broke up that he'd really wanted to do it on Valentine's Day, but he like kept it 100 and didn't. And I was like, thank you.
It's a weird fetish, isn't it? Why did he really want to do it on Valentine's Day?
Just to be able to say he broke up with someone on Valentine's Day. It's like, I'm so glad you chickened out.
I just want the thrill of it, you know? It'd be a good story, actually, for story time if he came back on and was like, well, I actually dumped this girl on Valentine's Day. Legend.
Right, so the musical theatre. Where are we now?
Did he dump you or did you dump him?
Oh, he dumped me, but it wasn't on Valentine's Day. So that's
why did he dump you, Claire?
I don't know. We were like 18 at the time, so you don't really get reasons.
No. Such a great point. Well, you know, the summer
time for the
coming.
Next one.
Well, we've had a good run. We have not had a good run. You tried to dump me on Valentine's Day, you prick. Can you swear on this podcast, by the way?
Oh, you can swear away, yeah.
Okay, sorry, because I do occasionally.
And just to be very clear, no hard feelings with that guy. We're good friends. Like, wait, at the
you literally have a blog entitled "The Absolute Wanker Who Almost Dumped Me on Valentine's Day." I've read it.
How did you find that one? Okay.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Right. Musical theater. We need
to focus, will you? Jesus.
Get the train back on.
I have no idea where I was. Oh, the coffee.
If we were in a pub, you'd never get to finish the first story. It's only because I'm sober and we're on a podcast that I know to bring you back to the original story. But if we were in a pub, you never would have got to finish the original one.
Yeah. The next hour would just be that poor fella deconstructing your 18-year-old relationship with this lad. Just like comparing him to Alex for like an hour.
Well Alex didn't try to break up with me on Valentine's Day, so 1 point in his favor.
Yeah. Have we started writing a list on the back of like a coaster with 1 point in it? Will you focus, please, Claire?
I will.
So musical theatre. So yes, I packed in the teaching job. You're right there.
Yeah, sorry, I was coughing, so I muted myself. But you called attention to it, so now it has to get left in.
I packed in the teaching job and said, right, I'll try and full-time. Oh, interesting. I'll full-time go for auditioning and trying to get a foot in the door and trying to do theatre shows. And I got to a certain level. I auditioned for Les Mis. And I think it was the first year I did it. I absolutely nailed my audition. And they were like, oh, this lad's class. He's unreal. And got down to, you know, very, very late stages for it. Got to sing on the stage in Les Mis and all this kind of crack. And then, I don't know whether my agent was just lying to my face to just be nice to me or not. But she said, oh, they've decided to go with someone else because they fit the costume better. You're a bit tall. So I think she was just softening the blow, if I'm honest. But I think the track, her logic was the track I was up for had like 8 or 9 different costumes. So for them to get all new costumes or alter the costumes would be expensive.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So. But you're definitely bringing up your triggering memories, and I've got told I'm too short for things.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's my time.
But it's your
now,
story.
Claire? Yeah,
can you continue?
I'm not sure.
I'm just
why.
Saying you should have put a trigger warning on.
I'm not sure. Yeah, trigger warning. Sorry, trigger warning heightist. Oh, listen, people like you are in short supply. You've heard all those, haven't you?
Stop oh, God. It.
Stop. Look, I don't want to look down on you, okay?
Oh, God, such dad jokes. I love it.
Oh, keep up, will you? Wow, I hate myself.
So you were too tall for
I was too tall and too good looking.
Handsome, that's what they said. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that was it. My mom told me this or my agent, I can't remember. But anyway, I had sort of similar stories with a few shows where I got in the room and got seen by people and had my chance and absolutely made a complete hames of it every time. Like I'd get to the final round of auditions and just balls it up. So I actually said, well, do you know what? Fuck it. I know I'm good. Jesus. There we go. There we go again with the ego. I was like, I know I'm good. I know I can do a job. And I actually really, really enjoy performing in front of a live audience. So if you put me in front of a couple of hundred people, I'd be much more comfortable than going into a sterile room and singing to 3 people. It's just such a weird,
awkward.
It's a weird process. And there are some people who are amazing at it. They're like really good at auditioning. And then other people, and I'm definitely one of them who massively struggle with it. It's just a straight, I'm like, do I look at you?
Right.
So porn is easy. Rule number one is porn. You make love to the camera first, right? Then you make love to the 4 women and the whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
But in an interview, geez, I don't know how we've got down that tangent. But in an interview, an audition or whatever, I don't know, you know, am I going full out? Am I pretending there's an audience? Am I talking directly? It's weird. And I always just made an absolute balls of it. So, but I was like, all right, I know I can do this and I know I can perform in front of an audience in front of this. So I was like, okay, well, I'll create my own avenue because I can't get a foot in the door here in terms of actual legitimate theater shows. And I can't get a foot in the door because I'm ballsing it up myself. Too tall. Yeah, too tall, she said. Yeah, too handsome. I definitely have that on my fridge from my mom. So is that right? I'll create my own sort of thing here because that seems about my only avenue of getting in the door. So I came up with a concept of sort of a 50s and 60s rock and roll vintage theater show. Because I had been playing a bit of rock and roll music with like a wedding band and myself and a few friends. And it was kind of a nice way to keep active and keep performing and make a bit of money and all that kind of stuff. But I thought, all right, this is good crack. Why not try and make something more of it? So we, you know, created this kind of theatery, vintagey show. And I reached out to a couple of people, a couple of agents and a couple of sort of avenues, and one of them was someone said, oh, we're doing a showcase for cruise ships. And I'd never been on a cruise ship, and it's not an Irish thing, is it?
Like, yeah, I definitely don't think it's like a middle class Irish thing. I'd say people would be looked at that have notions of doing that, but
I missed that word.
I Some definitely notions. Think that I think I probably know older people that have been on. Yeah, actually, I definitely know parents and stuff that have been on cruise ships, but no one my own age, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely for me as well. Like I would not have known anyone who'd been on a cruise ship until I left Kerry. Like it's just not a done thing. It's not
I
a common thing.
I didn't realize you were from Kerry.
Yeah.
I don't.
How could you not?
Well, you don't sound like you're from Kerry, would you believe?
My loquacious nature. And Kerry's famous for having people who are too tall and too handsome to be in Les Mis. Where are you from, actually?
I'm originally from Mayo. but I lived in
course,
Dublin.
Yeah, because the heartbreak and Mail for Sam and listen.
You took it away from us a couple of times, Gary.
Yes, listen, you know, there's a few certainties in life, death, taxes, and Mayo breaking your heart, isn't there? You know, all my family is Ballina.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, I live very near there. I'm from very near there. Yeah, wow. That's where I would have gone drinking.
Yeah,
would have been doing handbrakes and Diamonds car park with the lads.
There we go. Sure, small world. Geez, we get sidetracked so easily. Notions is a great word. Anyway, yeah. No one in Ireland. Cruising is alien.
Yeah.
I'd never kind of thought of it as a concept before. And over here in London, there's a weird kind of, I don't know how you describe it. I'm sure there's a parallel in other avenues of life. There's a weird snobbery in the theatre about cruising.
Oh, as in like they're too good to be doing the cruise ships?
Yeah, look, if you're, maybe I'd take a cruise if I was desperate. You know?
If I really... Be like doing bar mitzvahs in America. I'd be like, yeah, well, I'd do it if I needed the money kind of thing.
If I needed the money, maybe I'd do a cruise. So there's this weird kind of snobbery attitude, which I hadn't realized because, like I said, the whole sort of scene and the whole thing was alien to me. So when they said, oh, do you want to do this showcase for cruise ship companies? I was like, why not? Absolutely. So we went down to the showcase and we're back on track. We're back on the story. Went down to the showcase and it was for headline acts. So a headline act is sometimes called a fly-on act. And what it is you're like a speciality act. So all the cruises will have their own entertainment team on board. They'll have their own shows, their own cast on board. But what they do is they get in speciality acts. So it might be they call Claire from YouTube famous to come in and do a lecture series on how I became YouTube's number one eater of random American hot foods on a camera. Okay. So it's a speciality act so that the audience has something a bit different. So we were auditioning for that essentially, because we are like we only play 50s and 60s. We're something entirely different from what's on board, which is, you know, a cast.
You were saying we, so you'd obviously picked up a few band members at this point, had you?
Few of the boys.
Few the lads.
Few the lads. Do you know what I mean? The boys. We actually, it was very funny, right? So we started saying, like, the boys is such a, the boys, right? Such an absolute term. We were in Greece. The reason we were in Greece on one of the shows, I'm fast forwarding now, but we'll time hop. It's grand. Fast forward, we were in Greece, right? On one of the shows. Now, there's myself, a lad called Gareth, a lad called Larry, and a lad called Joshua. And all unbelievable musicians, very talented, very handsome, not too tall, lovely fellas, right? But let's say they have musicians' physiques, right?
Okay.
Okay. So we're walking down the beach in Greece and just having a great time, having a laugh. And coming the other way was, if you could imagine, the most token Love Island bunch of lads you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Maori tribal tattoos with an Essex accent, tiny little hot pant shorts, huge upper bodies, tiny legs, just walking towards us like this, giving us the intimidating stare. And we were like, we're on a beach in Greece. What are you doing? So we were like, it's the boys. And then we started ironically calling ourselves the boys. And then we've used it so much, we now just call ourselves the boys unironically. So everyone hates us now, obviously. Anyway, so me and the boys, right? we turn up to this audition. Jeez, this is really, there's tangents. I've had too much coffee. Great Nespresso machine. Thank God.
Not sponsored.
Yeah, not sponsored. Oh, don't you worry. You'll know if it's sponsored. I'll sell anything. If you pay me, I'll sell it. Arsenic, that's great for you. Really gives the eyes a good lift.
Disclaimer, it does not.
Myarsenic.com. The Clizair podcast would like to distance itself from all comments made at this stage. So we're at this showcase. It's for headline acts. So headline acts, like I said, tend to be something a little bit different. Or they tend to be, you know, sort of stars. So you'll have like stars from the West End or people who won The Voice or people who've won Britain's Got Talent. Or so to give you an example, there's a lad called Andrew Derbyshire, who's a very good friend of mine, he's a diva of the highest quality, and he just has this million pound megawatt voice. Okay, so he's a headline fly-on sort of act. And they bring him in and he'll do these pig super ballads. And it's just different from what the audience will see the other nights that they're on the cruise. And audiences go mad for him because he's amazing, amazing performer. So we're at this audition and it's all people singing ballads and power ballads. And like everything is sad and slow and all this kind of stuff. And we were like, oh, Jesus, we're in the wrong place. Because we're playing 50s and 60s, which is all happy, clappy, upbeat music. And we tell a rake of jokes in between the songs. And most of the time we're just literally taking the piss on stage. So we're like, lads, we're in the wrong place, but fuck it. We'll do our thing. Why the hell not? You know what I mean? So they put us on last, and presumably just to end the night a bit upbeat or whatever. So we go on and we're doing our thing and people are starting to love it, enjoy it, because it's so different from everything else. And we're telling our jokes and it goes down well. And, you know, we have a couple of gags in it. Anyway, we play the songs, play the stuff, and all happy clappy. And it was like, oh, great. Fantastic. So we're like, okay, well, you know, we did our thing. It probably wasn't what they were looking for or whatever. And then we drive home, and on the way home, actually, Larry ate an entire family box of Celebrations, but that's completely unrelated. We had to stop at a petrol station so he could get sick about 2 miles away from home, but that's unrelated. Tangent. That's a line drawn touching a circle at one point. It's a tangent. So a couple of weeks go by and we get a phone call and they're like, oh, they absolutely loved it and they want to offer you a bit of work. So we were like, great. So these acts in the UK are called guest ent. So they're guest entertainers is basically what they're called. And as I said, you fly to join the ship wherever it is, or you might join it in Southampton, or, you know, you get to train Southampton and join. And then you'll stay on board for maybe a week or 2 weeks, and then you'll get off again. And while you're on board, you have passenger status. So it's great because you go on board, you'll do 2-3 shows a week, and then you're off again. So a lot of the cruise contracts tend to be sort of 6 months or, you know, maybe even longer. So minimum of 4 months, kind of 6 months can be a bit longer. So people tend to say, you know, towards the end, they're getting sick of being on a ship and just want to be able to go to Nando's and all that kind of crack. But for us, it was great. So I had kind of like heard this thing about, you know, stigma about cruise ships or whatever. And I was like, I don't understand it. They just literally flew us to Greece. We spent a week sailing around the Greek islands. We ironically mocked the boys from Essex. Then we flew home. Oh, you know the famous photo of the four lads in the jeans? It's the meme now that's going around the internet.
Yes.
That was the lads who were coming down the beach towards us. You know, the shirts too tight.
I do know the photo you're talking about. Yeah, okay.
Those were the lads. Yeah, the boys. Oh, it's the boys. So anyway, we... we did that, and then the show, you know, once you put the show in front of live people, and it was going really well, and it was so completely different to everything else around the place, because a lot of the shows, they tend to make them really safe because the clientele is, you know, an older generation who, what they want is, most of the time they want four lads to come out looking well in sharp suits and, you know, sing a few nice songs and stuff like that. But our show, we were like, look, let's just be ourselves. So we have a load of jokes in there. There's a load of hop and ball. We're taking the piss out of each other. We don't take anything too seriously. We pretend we wrote half the songs. And so like we'll start playing some Elvis music. We'll be like, here's one we wrote back in 1924. And, you know, it's just a bit of fun. It's very lighthearted. And they loved it.
Yeah.
So it was completely different. So that kind of went from strength to strength. And that was maybe 2017. And 2018, we had two groups out doing the show. And then 2019, we had up to four groups out doing the show.
Now, what do you mean four groups? So you weren't, obviously, you couldn't be in all the groups, could you?
I'm not that good.
Yeah.
So I'm good, but I'm not that good.
You managed to hire a second Stephen to lead the other groups.
Well, can there really be a second Stephen? Yes, there can. I found, this is what I did, right? I found lads who were younger, more talented and better looking. Sent them out to do the job and then skimmed a load of cash off the top. It's the perfect
business. It's the entertainment business, baby.
Welcome to show business, baby. You're going to go far, honey. So I am the most hopelessly disorganized person in the world, and I should not be left near money at any stage in any way, shape or form, because I'll just be like, oh, we've got money. Spend it all. Oh, what? We have to pay people next week. Sorry, we've no money. So I reached out to a friend of mine who's he's a musical director in London's West End, as well as an actor. And he's been in loads of stuff. He's been in The Commitments, and he's done a load of work in the Gaiety in Dublin. He's just one of these horrifically talented people that you just keep waiting for the flaw, but there doesn't seem to be one.
Yeah.
He's not too tall, actually. You know, he's not that tall. So maybe that's, I have him on height. But I reached out to him and said, look, I have this thing. It's going well. Will you jump on board and basically run it? Because if I keep running it, I'll run into the ground. We'll have a great time, but I'll run it into the ground. So he jumped on board, you know, spent a few days crying and cursing my name at how I'd been doing it so far. And then I literally said to him, like I said, from day one, I was like, look, I'll have all the mad ideas. You tell me no. And I don't want to deal with money. You tell me, you take all the money and do whatever you want with it. Just make sure the boys are paid, and I don't care about what happens the rest of it. And so he took it over, and we started a company called Guest Dents. www.guestdents.com.
That's clever. Guest Dents. Yeah.
Weddings, theatres, bookings, bar mitzvahs, opening of spas, local fun runs. You name it, we'll do it. So we started up a company to essentially create and produce theatre for cruise ships, because we were like, this is great. I don't get what the sort of industry snobbery or whatever it is. We're living this life where we get flown around the world. We get to meet lovely people. You get on board the ship, and I'm no spring chicken, but relative to the guests on board, we're the young studs of the boat. So you walk around like you're, you know, a bit of a legend for the whole week. And then you fly home, and of course it's all luxury food and this and seeing beautiful places and all that. So I was like, well, okay. So we started this company called it Guest Dents, and we said, why don't we try and produce more shows, create more theatre? And at the same time, we had, you know, our vintage show was going out and doing well, and it was also doing weddings, and it was doing theatres and all this kind of stuff. And then the next sort of step of it was we said, why don't we? A friend of ours came to us and said, look, I want to do the guest entertainer role. I want to do these headline shows. You lads seem to know what you're doing. Will you represent me? And we kind of went, ha, okay, why not? So so we had a few people come to us and say that. We said, yeah, we'll help out. And of course, Andrew's a musical director, so he can do everything from designing all their, charting all their music, all their stage settings, all their lighting plots, literally everything from the ground up. And then we act as an agent for them. So we had a few people come and contact us. So we said, right, we'll put on our own little showcase. And we put on a showcase. And again, me being completely mad and us being us, we wanted to try to do something a little different. So we had my cousin, who is a sommelier.
Okay. It's a different cup. Are you drinking two cups of coffee at the same time?
There's no getting past you, you know. I'm also sponsored by Nescafe. Mm. That goes down smooth. One is juice and one is coffee.
Okay. Yeah. One's to calm you down, the other's dry you up.
Yeah, one's full of sedatives, the other's full of caffeine. I just really find a nice balance there, somewhere in the sweet spot.
Apologies, keep going.
No apologies. It's your show. Do what you want. Rant and rave. Really, really, really get it out why that guy dumped you when you were 18. Just really, I know the pain is in there, okay? The pain is in there. You're just a little bottle of pain. Anyway, we said, right, we'll do it, you know, next level. So my cousin's a sommelier. So we had all these acts, and he had a wine, which he assigned to each one. So one of the ladies was a lady called Cara Lily Hayworth, who's a bright red hair. And she played Cilla Black in the West End. And so they had this like deep burgundy red. And we'd go around to all the bookers. The bookers come into a theater and you schmooze them, basically. So we put on a showcase and we got them drunk as hell off a load of different wines and put all our acts up, and they booked a few of them. So we then kind of went, oh geez, we actually kind of have accidentally stumbled onto a business here. So 2019 and 2020, we had a couple of our own acts out, our own self-produced shows. And then we also represented a couple of artists and acts, and we'd send them out and then take our cut off the top and just make sure that they were happy with, you know, their accommodation, their flights, their travel, their food, that they were looked after, the musicians were good, all that kind of stuff. And we accidentally sort of stumbled onto a really thriving and successful business, which based itself in the cruise ship and theatre industry, which was a great idea around March 2020 when the entire cruise ship and theatre industry collapsed in a burning shower of rubble. I was actually in Miami, like talking to cruise companies in Miami when the entire industry decided to collapse. So I was there like, and you know what? I was there like, I rang home and I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll stay. I'll write it out. It'll be 2 weeks or whatever. I'll stay, you know? And then like 3 days later, they literally closed everything in Miami. And I was like, ah, maybe I'll go home.
Oh, maybe, yes. You didn't get stuck there. Well, that's on the bright side.
I didn't get stuck, which is, I'd rather have been stuck there where it was like 27 degrees and sunshine and sea and fair. All that. But then they literally closed the beach.
Oh yeah, okay, that's a bit so shit.
I was like, well, now I'm just in an expensive place with no perks. You weren't allowed to go to the park, you weren't allowed to exercise outdoors. I was just like, oh, well, this is terrible.
And so what was being on the cruise ships like? So you said that a contract was like minimum 4 months, but then you said you'd fly out and then you fly home after a week. So do you mean that you'd swap around, like you'd be on different cruises within those 4 months?
No, so what I mean by 4 months is, say, that every cruise ship will have its own onboard cast.
Oh,
and they'll
gotcha.
Do like up to 8 to 10 shows. And there, it blows my mind. They'll have 8, 10, like sort of hour-long shows, a full singing, dancing, acting, all this kind of stuff.
Gotcha, yeah. But the headliners are the ones that kind of fly in and fly out again.
Yeah, fly on gotcha. Act, literally guest end act. So you come in and you'll only do a week or 2 weeks. Whereas they'll be on board for 6 months and they'll have, like I said, 8 to 10 shows. So, you know, they'll rotate through those 8 to 10 yeah. shows.
That sounds like
month,
a hard slog now, Bush. It seems like you have the good one there.
We have the sweet life because we just go on and do our one show. And like I said, they all that coffee is getting to me. They have it like I said, they have to learn like just vast amounts of shows. And what's mad is like what people don't realize about a show is actually learning the music and the lyrics and the choreography is that's kind of the fun bit. And it's not taxing isn't the word because it is hard and it is tough and it's difficult. But the really taxing bit and the really tiring bit or whatever is the sort of staging and the structuring around the shows, which because there's so much that has to go on. There's so many safety protocols that have to be met. Like you have to learn that you stand on this point right here at this point during the song, you exit via that exit, you change, you have 30 seconds to change. You come back on via that entrance. You stand in this point. You can't go down there or you'll be out of your light. You have to... All that kind of stuff, which is absolute madness. But yeah, so they do a full on slog. So we always felt a little bit like, Jesus, how have we stumbled onto this one? We come on and play a few guitars and sing a few songs and make a few bad jokes and away we go. And then so their contracts are, that's the sort of longer contracts, whereas ours are the short ones. But yeah, I mean, that's another reason why I don't get this weird sort of snobbery that exists in the sort of cruise ship versus theater industry or whatever, because you'll go on board and some of the people are just mind blowingly good in the onboard cast. And you're there going, they're amazing in this show. And what I actually know is they know another 7 shows as well. So they're not just doing one show and repeating it. They're amazing at this show and they can also do these other 7 shows over here. So yeah. I don't get it.
Yeah. And have you ever poached anyone from an on crew cast?
We would like to officially not make any comment regarding that statement whatsoever. But yes, several. Yeah. You do, because you go on and you're like, and it's kind of relatively appealing to come and do what we do, because when you're not working, you're a passenger when you're doing what we do, which is great. So you might only have, like I said, two or three shows during the week. So say Monday, Wednesday and Sunday, you have shows. Well, every other day, you're a passenger. So whenever you pull into port, you get off and you do whatever you want within the legal remits of that country. Whenever you're on board, you know, you can eat in any restaurant you want. You can go and watch the other shows. You can go and watch live music. You can go and do whatever you want. There's go-kart racing tracks on some of the cruise ships.
Wow. See, this is the good stuff. Give me more of the good stuff. What else happens on a cruise ship?
There's water parks on some of these things. There's giant cinemas. Some of them, there's a ship which we did called the Celebrity Edge, which it has a restaurant on the outside, which they can lower up and down.
Okay.
So that, well, the reason is like they'll lower it down to just above sea level. So you're sat. Like,
oh, that's class, in fairness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so you can really imagine good. You're off the coast of Monaco. Imagine it, picture it now. You're in one of those big hats, that like the basic white girl hats and sunglasses. Yep. Yeah, and they lower you down and you're having your dinner, having a nice steak, looking in at Monaco as the sun goes down. It's quite nice.
That's
but they
good.
Have, their theatre is our favourite theatre. Their theatre seats about 1,000 people and it's like just this giant sort of amphitheater type space.
So it's not like what I'm sort of picturing, which is like a
the ferry. You're picturing the ferry from Dunleary to Holyhead.
Yeah. So it's a proper, even proper theater. Like.
So the microphone system, because the lad who runs the sound, he's the biggest nerd you can ever meet, which is exactly what you want when you turn up to a theater. I don't want someone cool. I want someone who is obsessed with, well, actually, if I turn it up to 52 megahertz, you'll get a slightly clearer tone. He was, you know, showing us around the theater and he was like, okay, this mic set here, this costs 4 million quid, just this mic set. The money that's in it, you cannot, like, this theater is just ridiculous. There's a clip on my Instagram at Stephen Sings One of me singing into this thing.
And I don't know if I mentioned it actually, sorry, but I will put all your links down in the description on YouTube and in the show notes on the audio platform.
That's
so
Stephen
you just
Sings
scroll
One.
Down and click if you can't remember Stephen Sings One.
The links are available on Claire's page at Stephen Sings One. there's a video of me singing to this and there's like three tiers to this theater. So it's just, you wouldn't, sometimes you have to pinch yourself and go, geez, I'm on a boat here. Like, what? You're looking out at this just beautiful, sensational theater and you're going, I'm actually on a boat. This is kind of mad. So yeah, I think it's not quite the like Dunleary to Holyhead ferry that you're picturing.
Yeah. I was picturing.
Like you're talking billion pound ships, and like some of them are ridiculous. There's a ship called, I think it's the Oasis of the Sea, has like a shopping mall and a high street and everything down the middle of it. And wow. It has, you know, the Red Bull high diving thing.
Yeah.
They have those, like the equivalent of that. I don't know if it's Red Bull sponsored, but they have the equivalent. They have like a high diving platform show at the back of the ship, because the ship is like 23 stories high.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's stupidly big. It's a big boat.
Yeah.
So like they're floating cities, some of them, which is just, it's
and is it all older people on them, or is there ever any mad crack happening?
So,
or actually, I suppose those two are not mutually exclusive. The older generation and the mad crack.
Yeah, I think the older generation, you reach a critical point in your life where you stop giving a fuck, don't you?
Yeah.
And I think once you pass over that threshold, there's a, we met a lady. Now, like the four of us are sort of, you know, mid-20s or, you know, early 30s. Or mid-30s in my case.
I was going to be like, mid-20s?
Well, I'm a Hollywood mid-20s, you know.
Hollywood mid-20s. No, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Playing age. Listen, oh, Jesus, you talk about that. I brushed my hair back this morning. I swear my hairline starts somewhere around the fucking middle of my head now. So I'm about 3 haircuts away from just giving up and going full Bruce Willis. But anyway, I'll cling on to it as long as I can. Angles. It's all about angles. Anyway, you were talking about old people and mad crack. We met this old lady who came to our show and absolutely loved it. Came down the front row, American lady. And it's amazing, actually, the differences between American audiences and, you know, sort of European or UK audiences. If you do the greatest show in the world, this is the greatest show. If you do the greatest, you can't be musical theater song or not burst into it. Anyway, if you do the greatest show in the world, and you absolutely nail it, and it's unbelievable, mind-blowing, sensational, you might get from a British audience, okay?
Really?
If you do a bang average show, but it's all right, it's not terrible, the Americans will give you all the, they'll be stood on their chairs, tops off, just shaking them around their head, just throwing underwear at the stage, and that's just the men, and it's just, you know, yeah, they're just, it's just culturally, they're just way more like supportive. You'll be singing a note. I remember the first time we did an American show, Ship, I was singing and I sang this big note and people started like, woo, and cheering and all that. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I'm singing here. I think I actually gave them the daggers. I was like, excuse me, I'm an artiste performing. And then I realized, actually, no, that's just, they'll get into it. You do something great and they'll give you more energy and give you more juice. But anyway, we met this lady, and I'd say she's in her 80s, and like I said, mid-20s, early 30s or whatever. And she came to the show, and then she came to the second show, sat down in the front with garlands of flowers, which she threw at us throughout. At the end, when we were taking the bows, she grabbed the youngest fella, started kissing him, and then came and found us in, we were having dinner the next night, came and found us, sat down, bought us all a rake of drinks and spent the night like just literally chatting with us. And you're talking about mad crack. I swear she was the most fun. She was like tradition. If you can imagine a traditional sort of Hollywood Jewish mama stereotype.
Okay.
That was exactly what she was like. And she had, you know, the complete matriarch running the family. A story for everything, top good, no social or physical boundaries whatsoever. Come in, grab me by the face, kiss you on the lips, how are you, and like the brow beaten husband, you know, coming behind her, just really polite and lovely. And she, like, that was some of the maddest crack, was hanging out with her. So it's not exclusive to age, but to answer your question, which you asked at least 17 minutes ago, a lot of the cruise ships are trying to aim for younger audiences at the minute. And the cruise audience sort of changes depending on which cruise ship you're on.
Yeah,
there are certain cruise lines which cater to sort of slightly more older audience. And then there are, like I said, Norwegian, for example, have go-karts on and water parks. And so they are aiming for families and young people and all that kind of stuff. They do, you know, they leave Miami, go cruise around the Caribbean with your family and come back. And they have sports courts and basketball courts and football pitches and all this kind of stuff on the top deck. So it depending on, it really depends on what line you're on.
Yeah. And I'm only asking this now because everybody will want to know, what is the story with the industry now?
Everybody will want to know.
Yeah.
So there are
cruise ships aren't, are they happening? Are they coming back?
They're not happening at the minute. And they are coming back. They're all planning to restart around June,
okay, May, so June.
America
crossed.
Has great plans to kick off again, sort of May, June, July, any time around there. And they're just basically saying you have to have your jab to get on board.
Fair so enough. Okay.
Vaccinated. Which,
well, you're
going
better
up
off
in
being
arms.
In the UK then, because you might actually get it quicker.
I think, no, don't you have one vaccine between every 17 people over there? And
you get rolling it out of
It's like CBD oil. You put a bit of it under your tongue in the morning. I heard the vaccines are on that Evergreen ship, which is stuck in the Suez Canal. That's what I heard.
Oh, well done. That's really timely joke.
Thank
and
you.
It's I've been really nothing relevant listen, to what we've been talking about. Both.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm nothing. I've always had amazing Suez Canal references. That, like, ask anyone; they'll tell you the first thing they'll say about me. Oh, he knows his canals. Actually, I've done the Panama Canal.
Okay.
While we're talking about canals, and I can tell you from first-hand experience, that was one of the most boring experiences of my life.
Really?
Well, everyone says, oh my God, what an amazing thing. And it is like a mind-blowing feat of architecture or industry or whatever you want. And learning the history of it is fascinating. And Panama City itself, amazing. I've never seen as many birds in all my life, like actual birds and different types of birds and species and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the whole day, you just sail up to a lock, you park there, they fill the lock, and then you sail onto another lock, you park there, and you just do that over and over again. So it's
so
not
this
exactly...
is a famous like tourist trap, is it?
Yeah, you'll book a cruise to the Panama Canal.
And were you working on that one, or were you a passenger?
Oh, working.
Wow.
I've never been on as a passenger.
Would you do it one day?
Well, not if I can do what I'm currently doing, because I literally experience all the same benefits, but then I get paid when I get home.
True. What do you have left to do when you're retired? Nothing. Because normally they're like, I'm going to go on a cruise when I retire.
Yeah. When I finish, I'll go get an office job. I'll retire to a nice office job, work it for 60 years, and then just repeat the cycle. But if I was to recommend a cruise to anyone of any age, it would be Norway.
Okay. Is that the Northern Lights? No.
Have you ever been? Oh, you can see them there. I mean, north, you know, yeah. Up. Just go up until you see a few lights. But have you been to Norway?
I have not.
Oh, put it on the bucket list. Put it on once you finish the Irish bucket list, put it on the world bucket list. But by far the most beautiful, unbelievable, mind-blowing place. You'll never feel more ugly, though. That's the only thing, because all the people are super attractive. So you'll feel gross relative to them. They're all literally blonde and tanned and athletic and be like, oh, yes, I climbed a mountain this morning and now I'm... I don't know. That was a bit Dutch, wasn't it? I'm supposed to know Norwegian. Yes, welcome to Amsterdam. I don't have accents on my CV, okay? So I am professionally trained, but I don't have accents. So because when you do Norway by cruise, you can literally cruise down the fjords. So it's incredible, because that's... Otherwise, you'd have to literally drive around all the wiggly bits on the edge of Norway. And we have a good old band tradition, actually, where one of the spots that we stop in Norway, which I won't mention so that we don't get in trouble, there's a lake that's fed by a glacier.
Okay.
Glacier.
Oh, I would say glacier, but you live in
the UK.
You've
got notions. Yeah, I've got notions now. Well, actually, it's a glacier, darling. There is a lake fed by a blade glacier. So it's always absolutely freezing. It's barely, and sometimes it is ice, but it's usually just barely above freezing. And one of our sort of initiations is whenever you do that cruise, we all get in nude together. We came very close once, because it is a lake and it's a scenic spot, and they do bus tours around the lake.
Oh no.
We got very close one day to be caught in a very unflattering position. I mean, it's freezing cold, you know what I mean? It's not doing anyone any favors. So, we just made it out and got the towels on just in time. But that's our
initiative. Yeah, well, hopefully it comes back now in as planned this summer.
The nudity or the cruise?
Oh, no, sorry. The cruise ships. The industry of cruise.
The industry.
So you can resume your adventures.
Adventures. It's too big an industry to not. That's the thing.
Come here, do you catalogue your adventures on your social media accounts by any chance?
Do you know what? I am the worst person in the world at social media. I'm absolutely terrible at it. Just a disaster. Because I'll get a notion where I'll be like, oh, I better do this, and I'll do it for, you know, a couple of days, and then I just won't bother for ages.
Yeah.
So, but I do.
Well, you'll get snippets. They'll get snippets if they check you out.
Oh, you were doing the whole encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're like, no, don't bother.
Don't bother. Listen, I share funny memes, and every now and then I'll do some good material and good comedy. But I tell you what I do actually do, and which is one of the reasons I like your social media as well, is by and large I keep my social media fairly social.
Yeah.
And I know that's kind of a silly thing to say or whatever, but I see an awful lot of people now on social media will get on their social media and lecture me about something.
Ugh.
And I'm there going, well, I don't come to this page to be
lectured.
It's called social media. Like, I come here to disconnect from, I'll read the fucking newspaper. I don't want to come on here and hear your thoughts on the whatever. And if I do, like, I'll go to, so for example, if I'm following a fitness page and they're talking to me about fitness, great, bang on, because I'm on a fitness page. But if I'm on whatever, someone's social media page, and they come on to give me, I'm going off.
Oh, I totally know what you mean, because there's loads of fitness pages that go on these sort of like rants about various different things, and it's like, oh, just it's not okay. I get it. Social media bad. I get it. Okay, positivity.
Yeah, yeah. So what I do is like I know I literally going to tell you that I do that exact same thing, but I do it. I make it a choice that you opt into, in terms of like, I'll write about this stuff and put it as a swipe up and go. Yeah. And I literally write everything. And often I'll literally write the words. By the way, this advice is being given to you by a late 20s, mid 20s Hollywood, mid 30s in actuality, by a mid 30s unemployed actor who lives at home with his mom, who still thinks his band can make it. So take it with a pinch of salt. It's just my opinion. Whereas I think the thing I hate the most is when fucking Kevin, who's a personal trainer, comes on to tell me about spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
And I go, Kevin, don't talk to me like you are... You've spent the last 16 years in a Buddhist temple. You can give your opinion, but please caveat it as, I'm a personal trainer, by the way, guys.
Follow Stephen Sings one.
Follow me. I may or may not update things. I may or may not go into rants. But either way, you're guaranteed some entertainment. I share good memes, though. You have to give me that.
You do.
I have a good quality of memes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your story. It was good crack.
Which story was it? That's
all
the
of them.
Thing. I don't think we nailed down a particular story. Here, it was my pleasure. Listen, I'm sure we'll break the internet with this one.
I'll happily
come back on and tell you more stories anytime you want.
Yeah, absolutely. We will discuss afterwards getting you on for another episode. And comment down below if you want to hear from Stephen again.
Can you tell the lockdown has been going on a year? You can't tell, can you? Social interaction. Oh my God, social interaction.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for watching, and I shall see you in the next one. Bye.
Thanks a million for having me, Claire. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.